they begin to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We look down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program, April Marie Fogle, Alabama Today, and News Talk 93.1 up in Montgomery for her weekly visit, and our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, will be with us, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Joining us, I'm very pleased to bring on my next guest. Always grateful for these guys to come on this radio show, but he's running for United States Senate here in Alabama. He's a U.S. Army veteran. You might know him from his Black Hawk Down heroics. Mike Durant joins us on the line. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for making time for us. Well, let's kind of kick it off here. Tell us how the campaign's going.
Well, it's going well. You know, one thing about it is I'm sort of new to politics, and having been in politics now for 6 months, the only thing that does surprise me is how there seems to be a lack of integrity on the part of some candidates. And, you know, it's fine to talk about issues. It's fine to talk about weaknesses or strengths. But when they're outright lying to the voters of Alabama, that crosses the line. And people need to recognize that that is what is going on right now. And it should be making all of us very angry, because not everyone has the time, the energy, or the resources to go research all this stuff. So they're misleading the people, and they're trying to push things in a direction that is based on lies and not the truth. And that's not what this country was founded on.
Well, Mike, since you brought it up, can you lay out some of the lies here, or just give us an example or two that you take bridge with?
Sure. I am pro-Second Amendment, always have been, 100% combat veteran, attack helicopter pilot, gun owner, and they use the clip, when I say they, super PACs that support Katie Britt and herself, use a clip where I'm talking about combat operations in Somalia and accusing me of being anti-Second Amendment because of what I was saying about what was happening in Somalia in 1993. That is absolutely untrue, what they're trying to imply there, and they have worn it out. And, you know, that's a single-issue vote for some people in this state, and it should be, because it's in the Constitution. We have the right to own and bear arms, to defend ourselves and our property, and I support that 100%. And they are trying to make it sound like I'm against that, and it's patently false.
So, that was going to come email lead into that. Just the Second Amendment, what it means to you, and obviously having that clip played over and over again. Walk us through that. I mean, you know, the founders put it in there for a reason. Give us kind of a quick take on the Second Amendment.
Well, I think I just did. I mean, I stand behind it 100% as written. Every law-abiding citizen has the right to own and bear arms, period.
All right. Well, fair enough. The other thing, I guess, they're running your immigration comments you gave on a Zoom call, and I understand the point. You increase a certain level of skilled immigration, and it brings down the cost of labor. I mean, that's economics 101, but I guess people would take issue with that because it's not necessarily a quote-unquote American first ideal. But do you want to take a shot at that one?
Well, I disagree. I think it is America first. I mean, my position is build the wall. Stop illegal immigration. That is, there's no compromise there whatsoever. And in terms of, you know, who's going to be tough on that, I don't think there's any question about who's tough in this race, okay? It's absolutely paramount that we stop illegal immigration. That is my number one issue. I hear it everywhere across the state. How we deal with people who want to come here legally to participate in our economy, pay taxes, be part of this great nation that we have built, which was built on immigrants, is another issue. And they're trying to tie the two together and, again, mislead the voters and say that I am not tough on illegal immigration. I am the toughest on illegal immigration.
Mike, something I want to ask you about and lean on your expertise here, and this is kind of front and center on Capitol Hill right now, this $40 billion Congress wants to take and spend toward defending Ukraine. It's hung up in the Senate right now. They couldn't get it done on unanimous consent, but it passed through the House, and I think 6 out of 7 of our congressional delegation voted for it. But on that particular piece of Ukraine and Ukraine in general, kind of walk us through where you are on that.
Well, we all support Ukraine. We all look at what's happening there. We all look at what Putin has done there, and it's horrific to think that that could even happen in today's world, but it is happening. We were slow to ramp up in the early stages. I would argue that Biden's position on pushing Ukraine to join NATO was part of the contributing factors here. You can't disagree with the fact that when he stood up and said a small incursion would be okay, that was like giving them the green light, just like giving all the illegal aliens the green light in Mexico, that we're going to give you money and, you know, come here however means you want. I mean, you can point to all these issues right back to the Biden administration. In terms of the vote today, I applaud Rand Paul. I mean, what he wants is accountability. He doesn't want a blank check, $40 billion of American taxpayer dollars going out there to do who knows what. We need to be good stewards of the people's money. And just blanketly spending $40 billion without some sort of accountability, no one should stand up for.
Do you think if we had some, if we could appropriate, if we could earmark it towards something, what's the best way to use American resources for Ukraine?
The best way to use American resources for Ukraine is to get the other NATO members to carry their fair share of the load. This does not need to be America's thing to fund. We need to push to get the European countries who have the most to lose to lead this effort. There is no reason why we should be leading this effort and putting this burden on the American taxpayer. We need to support the Ukrainians, but we should not be digging ourselves into an even deeper hole to do it when there are other countries that have resources more at stake that can support the initiative.
Joined by Mike Duran, running for United States Senate here in Alabama. Some other hot-button topics coming up, the way the timing has worked out in this election cycle. But this, what looks like the Supreme Court is poised to overturn Roe v. Wade. And just get your thoughts. Obviously, it was leaked, and it's a draft opinion, but I assume you're probably where a lot of these other guys are. You're unmistakably pro-life, but getting it back to the states, give us your reaction to what the Supreme Court looks like they're about to do here.
Well, it's been a long time coming, and I think those of us who are truly pro-life, as I am, applaud this ruling. It's incredible to me that it's taken this long to get to this point, because that should have never happened in the first place. And, you know, let's go back to Katie's record on abortion here. She's got a donor to her campaign right now, Culver House, who anybody's affiliated with the University of Alabama should recognize that name. Huge donor. This is the guy that called for a boycott in response to Alabama's pro-life bill. He was going to donate $26 million, and the university gave it back and took his name off the law school. He is one of the major donors to Katie's campaign. Meanwhile, they accuse me of being influenced by the liberal left, which is complete fabrication. So I am the true pro-life candidate. She is not.
Now, speaking of that, obviously throughout this campaign, the More Perfect Union, Lincoln Project, they just throw these terms around, alleging you have some ties to them. And I guess last week you finally offered a denunciation, if you will, of Lincoln Project. But this has come up. There was this postcard image put up on your social media yesterday. It appears as either a hoax or a campaign stunt or whatever it may be. But just give us your take. What happened there? How did this come to be? And then your reaction to Rick Wilson's response.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on the trail all week. I got home. I got this postcard on my inbox, and it's offensive, because it makes reference to two Medal of Honor recipients who I fought with on the battlefield that gave their lives. And, you know, Rick Wilson is in no position to be even saying their names. And it shows, I feel, proof that I have nothing to do with this organization. I am a polar opposite in terms of my views politically. And, you know, it's amazing to me that this guy's even got the notoriety that he's got. I didn't know who he was until I looked him up yesterday. But apparently, some people eat this stuff, and I do not, and would prefer that I never had any contact from the man again in my life.
But you think that postcard really came from Rick Wilson, that it was authentic, or somebody just kind of yanking your chain?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, he denounced me, and again, we completely blew this off because to us he's irrelevant, but he denounced me on Twitter maybe 2 months ago, and at the same time yesterday he said he's not been tracking this campaign. He's everything he says is a lie. So, you know, what? I don't even know why we're talking about it. I have no connection to him.
But the question was answered, that the Lincoln Project, they're not backing your campaign or anything like that.
Not at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, fair enough. Let's move on. Talk about this. You mentioned this out on the campaign trail, and I think you're at North Shelby County Women's Forum or something, but you did address it, and this has been raised by Congressman Brooks, I know, a few times, that you don't participate in Republican primaries, or you haven't since 2008. That was the McCain-Palin cycle. But talk to us. Give us that response you gave them, and kind of explain why you take a pass, but you do vote in the general elections.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I've been now in this political world for 6 months, and I'll be honest with you, I still don't know who I'm going to vote for, obviously outside of the Senate race, in the primary in all cases. I mean, it takes a lot of homework to really understand who these candidates are. I started a business from zero, nothing. I had just a will and a loan from the bank, and I had to go build customers. I had to, you know, build my staff. I had to get contracts. You know, that doesn't happen by itself. There's very few people that can say that they've actually done that. And I took it from zero in 2008 to 500-plus employees in 2022. That took a lot of hard work, 24/7. And if I can't truly understand who it is that's running in the primary, I don't want to cast a blind vote. I just don't. And I didn't have the time to do it. What I cared about was that the Republican Party got as many votes for me as they could, and I voted straight Republican every time in the general.
Let's say that you're elected to the United States Senate, and we get to 2023, and those organization meetings are going like they always go. You're in caucus meeting, talking about leadership. Mitch McConnell, is he your guy, or do you have somebody else in mind you would like to see lead the Republican caucus, be it minority or in the majority? What do you think about that, kind of where we are as Republicans right now on Capitol Hill?
I want the most conservative person to lead the party. That's the direction we need to go. We need to unify behind what the greatness of this party, you know, smaller government, lower taxes, all the things that true conservative people believe in. That's the person that we need leading the party. And you know, to say is it someone else, it's pure speculation until someone says I'm in, and then I'll vote for whoever the most conservative is in that race.
So just a matter of seeing who your choices are, I suppose.
Correct.
Tell us this. You've been out and about on the campaign trail around Alabama. You know, I assume you hear from voters. What when you are on the trail, what do you hear from these guys? Aside from the gotcha stuff about Lincoln Project or whatever, but when it comes down to issues, what seems to be coming up the most for you?
Well, I mean, one thing that we tend to just gloss over is it only being lied to. I mean, the reaction that I get from people once the record is set straight is pretty clear. They don't like being lied to, and they're being lied to by the BRIC campaign and the PACs that support her. And it's outrageous because, like I just said, the average person doesn't have time to go research all this stuff. All they can do is watch what's on the television commercial, or maybe, you know, read a blog or two or a report online. But to get to the bottom of all these things is very difficult. So when you have candidates who are willing to endorse absolute false accusations and lies, what do you think they're going to do when they're in office if we make the tragic mistake of ever electing them? They're going to do the same thing. So we need to be looking for who has integrity in this race. Who's going to tell you the truth now, and who's going to tell you the truth when they're in office? And I can tell you it's not. That's Katie Britt.
So you think, now I guess these PACs are aligned with Katie Britt, but it's like you said, I think once we ask you about Jake Harriman and More Perfect Union, these entities tend to operate on their own and do their own thing. But you think otherwise that this is a quote-unquote, as you put it, an endorsement of what these guys are doing?
Well, I mean, Katie came out this week and used exactly the same rhetoric and stated the same lies about my position on the Second Amendment. You know, we were holding back. We were trying not to go negative until she personally came out and started spewing these lies. And they're all perfectly aligned with what her super PACs have been doing. And they have spent $10 million in this campaign to keep a political outsider like me from getting in office. Meanwhile, I've spent $6 million of my own money. You think I owe anybody anything if I got $6 million in this race? Right. Nobody. Nobody owns me. I'm going to do what's right for the people of Alabama and for the people of this country. Meanwhile, what do they expect to get for that $10 million from Katie?
Well,
something. People don't throw money away.
No, you're right about that. But, hey, Mike, we're up against the break. Before we let you go, folks want to find out more about your campaign. Can you point them in the right direction?
Yeah, absolutely. It's MikeDurant.com. It's MikeDurant.com. And, you know, I'd like to hear from people. I'd like people to get out and meet me and hear from me directly. I know we're running short on time, but I've been making all around the state and trying to meet as many people as we can and getting great response and, you know, look forward to all the support we're going to get on May 24th.
Mike, as always, we appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Mike Durant, ladies and gentlemen, running for United States Senate. Let's get a break in here. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5.